Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Welcome to episode 396 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on games and game theory. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
It's a mystery. What the heck are we going to talk about?
Oh, well, games and game theory. It was part of the introduction. Where were you?
No, I was paying attention. Oh, too much caffeine.
Well, the first thing I want to talk about is that there will be no episode next week, nor the following. It's the holiday time of year. So we got Halloween next week, and the following week is Veterans Day.
Oh, yeah.
So a couple of weeks off. Fun for me?
Was there a question mark in there?
No, it wasn't. Working vacations. Also, let's not forget, Phil has his own podcast called Episode One, which you can find by visiting brothersbarton.net.
Yes,
and we have a Patreon, patreon.com/thelabwithbrad. I kept forgetting the .com when I've been hoiking this thing around, spruiking, or whatever you call it.
Yeah, it would have taken them to a search engine, and they would have found it.
Yeah. We hope. Any day now.
I'm a patron.
All right, let's start with The Origin of Species.
Oh.
A book published by Charles Darwin in
1859. Okay.
In which he outlined his theory of evolution and natural selection. And all of that.
Right.
Okay. So that's there.
There it is.
And for a long time, people were a little confused about why there's so many things that cooperate in nature when it seemed to be all about competition.
Oh, that meant, yeah.
And, you know, it's one thing if, like, a bunch of bees cooperate, they're all related, right? Kin selection, you bet.
A hive, right.
But what's with the barber fish and the shark? You know, the little fish, clean out the shark's jaws.
Heck yeah.
Usually don't get eaten.
The shark is like, you guys are doing a good job.
Yeah, so there's all this cooperating. Modern theory is perfectly comfortable with this notion, but it took a while to get there. And one of the things that got us there is part of game theory.
Oh, really?
In fact, you can't really talk about game theory without talking about this one sooner or later.
Okay.
Modern game theory got started in 1928 by John von Neumann.
That's way earlier than I thought. Von Neumann, I'm sorry.
That's how it got started. The gauntlet was picked up by something called Project RAND.
Okay.
Which is now the RAND Corporation.
Oh.
It was the end of World War II, 1945, and a couple of big wigs were like, okay, we're about to lose all this talent we got together to do things like open the Pandora's box of nuclear energy and weapons.
Right. War-based sort of projects, yes.
Wanted to be able to keep those smarts around and do intelligent things.
Okay, yeah.
So, as a play on the term research and development, they called it the RAND Project.
Oh.
Got started in 1950, or excuse me, started in 1945. By 1947, the company that was running it, Douglas Aircraft, was a little worried about conflict of interest. So by 1948, it spun off into its own nonprofit corporation, and it still exists today.
Oh.
I bring this up because in 1950, at the RAND Corporation, a couple of people came up with this game.
Oh.
And then a third person put it in terms having to do with jail sentences.
Oh, okay.
And called it The Prisoner's Dilemma, which we talked about on Monday. Our sponsors today include Sacred Cows, Sacred Chickens, and Hungry Travelers.
All that stuff is delicious and holy.
Holy cow. We have just come back from, it was kind of like a vacation for me. Because we did the Twivel and Fidget stuff, which meant I didn't have to do any research for 2 weeks. Twivel and Fidget, by the way, the adventures thereof, part 1 and 2, are on episodes 394 and 395,
yes,
which you can find by visiting labwithbrad.com. We had a lot of fun doing it, that I've decided to give them a bit of a backstory.
Oh, okay.
All right, so Twivel and Fidget had contracted with Fuzz Budget.
Fuzz Budget, yes, of course.
The magician who wanted to take out their nemesis, the evil sorcerer Kerfuffle.
Where are you getting these names, I wonder? Okay.
All right, so you guys did that. You took a portal to some strange place in the world you'd never been before.
Yes.
Infiltrated the tower.
That's right.
Got into the main chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fuzz Budget set off her magical bomb.
Ooh, bonus.
Which then turned Kerfuffle and his undead army into dust.
That's the thing
to
do.
An unfortunate side effect, it turned all your armor and weapons into dust as well.
Wow.
Thanks a lot, Fuzz Budget.
So this is why I didn't have an axe or anything. Or,
yeah. And then, you looted the tower. It's the thing you do.
Right.
Fuzz Budget stimped ya. She stiffed ya.
Stiffed me. Okay. Yeah,
she was like, okay, I'm not giving you the reward. In fact, if you want me to open that portal back up, you're going to give me half that loot.
What the heck, man?
Yeah, you didn't agree. So you and Fidget went walkies. The road was kind of torn up and overgrown, and you did find a village of gnomes.
Okay.
Who, however, would not take any of your money.
Okay.
They apparently had never seen coins before and didn't give a crap about them.
Right? Yeah.
So with no supplies and no food, as you left the town, one of you, and you're not sure which one, and you'll probably argue about it for the rest of your lives, stole a chicken. The gnomes seemed to get rather upset about this.
Yeah.
But you managed to give them the slip. And that night, you set up camp and had a delicious chicken dinner.
We didn't know.
Unfortunately, the next morning you got back on the road and were ambushed by the gnomes and arrested.
For what? I mean...
Well, you were taken to their prison and separated so that you couldn't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they came into the room and told you, Twibble.
Yes?
All right, so we've got you dead to rights on stealing the sacred chicken.
Sacred?
Yeah, sacred.
Oh, are you sure? It tasted like every other chicken. It was pretty good.
Don't say that. They don't have you on the crime of... They found the campsite.
Yeah.
But they didn't until a few seconds ago have you on the crime of actually eating the chicken.
Are we role-playing right now? Because I didn't mean any of that.
Yeah, right. Don't say anything.
It's all happening in my mind.
But they offer you a deal.
Oh.
If you tell us that your partner ate the chicken, then they will have a 3-year sentence and you will go free.
Oh, okay.
If neither one of you talks, you will go to jail for stealing the chicken 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
If you both rat out the other, you'll end up with a 2-year sentence.
I don't like any of this.
You're right? This is all awful. It's called The Prisoner's Dilemma.
I've heard this before.
Yeah,
this
it's probably the most famous game ever to be studied in game theory, and it was right there at the beginning of it. In The Prisoner's Dilemma, being the rat while the other guy isn't is the best possible outcome.
Yeah.
The second best is if you both keep your mouth shut. The third best is if you both rat each other out. And the worst, of course, is if the other guy rats you out and you didn't say anything.
Can't we do like the third door or what's in the box or...
All right. So here's the thing. Something specific to The Prisoner's Dilemma is that the prisoners cannot communicate with each other.
Yeah.
But Fidget has telepathy.
Aha!
Ha! So what happened is you ratted out... Well, actually, what happened is you accidentally told the guards it was you.
Mm-hmm.
And you told Fidget that, who kept her mouth who then went ahead and said, yes, he did.
Okay.
All right. So Fidget ratted you out and got released while you were given a 3-year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So Fidget took all of your loot back to Fuss Budget and hired her to get you out of jail. A quick prison break, a step through the portal, and all you had left was a fistful of coins.
I'll take it.
You spent all but one drinking and complaining. And then you heard a tale of a wishing well.
Oh, okay. Well, that seems like a good place for that coin.
So that's the prisoner's dilemma, the basic version, where if you're the rat and the other guy doesn't, you walk away free.
Mm-hmm.
But if you both rat each other out, you got a slightly longer sentence. If you both cooperate, you get the shortest sentence possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the sucker...
That may have said it out loud. I forgot.
Now, if you're just going to play this game once and you actually don't give a crap about the other guy, all you're concerned with is keeping the smallest sentence possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's your choice. Do you speak? Do you rat out the other guy or not?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, sure.
I would definitely lean towards the keep my mouth shut.
Right?
Snitches.
Get stitches. See, you're already stepping outside of the bounds of the game.
Oh.
No. They have found that, overwhelmingly, people tend to have a bias towards cooperation in this game.
Mm.
Even at the Rand Corporation, when they were first doing it, they were using their steno pool. Where all the girls, it was 1950, so, gender biases.
All the steno,
all the girls knew each other, and they tended to cooperate for the best group outcome instead of going for the best outcome for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep your mouth shut, you will have a prison sentence.
Yes.
Either one, or even worse, three. If you talk, you've got a chance of walking away, or you get a 2-year sentence.
Well, I mean, but I'll feel better about myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. It's always a larger context. Like, even if you got a couple of prisoners and they don't like each other, that other guy's probably got friends.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
I hear you were talking. Anyway, along comes this guy, and he made the iterated prisoner's dilemma.
Oh, okay.
This is where you play more than once. And you're allowed to adjust your strategy based on what they did last time.
Oh, so if you got ratted out,
you're
going to speak first. You're like, I know it was him.
You're getting really close already. Robert Axelrod, he set up a tournament. And he had a bunch of people send in little programs that would play various strategies against each other.
Interesting.
Many, many tries later, one program emerged victorious.
Okay.
And the funny thing about it, it didn't often take first place in any given run, but it was pretty consistent with second place.
Okay.
It was the simplest program entered, only 4 lines of basic, called tit for tat.
Oh.
All you do is you start by keeping your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
Then you do exactly what that guy did to you last time.
Aha, okay.
There's a slight variation on this, where even if that guy ratted you out last time, there's a small chance you still keep your mouth shut, just to break out of infinite loops of retribution.
Oh man.
Yeah, but it wasn't just tit for tat. He examined all the data, and he found that the programs that tended to do the best shared certain characteristics.
Okay.
First off, they're nice. They don't start by ratting out the other guy.
Oh, see? Okay, I like this.
Secondly, there's retribution. If you screw me over, I'm taking you down.
Ha! Ha!
Third, they're forgiving.
Oh?
The first time you don't screw me over, all right, all is forgiven. We're friends again.
Oh.
And lastly, and this is an odd one, they're not envious, as in they don't try to get the best score.
Okay.
They don't adjust their strategy. They just stick to the plan.
I got you. They're like very in the moment. No, I don't got you. That's okay.
Yeah, well, there it is.
Other people will get you.
No, I mean, say somebody's getting a better score than you.
Uh-huh.
You don't start trying to chase after the best score in every single time you play.
Oh, Okay, yeah, I'm back to my in the moment. It's a Zen thing, man.
It's like, a Zen thing. It's four lines of code.
See? Simple.
Anyway, this was used as an example of how cooperation can emerge spontaneously.
Hmm.
And there's been thousands of papers written on it. That came out in the 1980s. Okay. I heard about it at the time. I got a kick out of it.
Oh.
Other things have been done since then. I love this. They've done evolutionary simulations where these programs get to make their evolve their strategies.
Oh, neat.
And often, not every single time, but often tit-for-tat-like strategies take over the take over the world. Yeah. It's okay, though. They're nice.
As long as you're nice to them.
It's actually an interesting twist to this.
Mm-hmm.
I really love this from the stuff I did with digital organisms and evolutionary programming experiments.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a tit-for-tat-like population, mm-hmm. sometimes there's a mutation and you get one that's not just nice, it's a sucker. It never retaliates. Say this word for me.
Retaliates.
Okay. It never retaliates.
Uh-huh.
So it's a sucker. And then every now and then there's a mutation, and a nasty strategy can live off of the suckers for a little while.
Little bubbles. I like it. It's great.
Anyway, many other games have examined many other things involving human behavior and so forth. But we'll talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.